Lord, I thank you so much that we can come in your presence, Lord, and just relax and enjoy one another and enjoy you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are amazing and a wonderful God that is faithful and true, that is constant. Lord, we can turn to you any single moment of the day. Lord, help us to turn to you every single moment of the day. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Just pour your spirit upon us today, this morning. Anoint our minds. Help us to receive your word and that it implants and moves us and transforms us. That we are not the same, Lord, truly not the same when we leave this place. Lord, we love you. And all God's children said, amen. We're in Philippians 4, 10 through 14 today. And we will actually get through 10 through 14. We'll go through four verses, which is pretty unheard of for us here, which is pretty amazing. So if you'd like to stand with us at chapter 4, verse 10, I'm going to read from 10 through 14. I guess that's five verses, actually. And yes, I used to be a math teacher. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, now that at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want or I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along in the humble means, and also I know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and in suffering and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You may be seated. Lord, may your word just continue to move in this, Lord. You know, Paul, before we get into the message today, last week, have you did any reflection on your life in areas that God was either real or fake in your life? We talked about relationship being real or fake. Did you spend time with the Lord this week asking him, Lord, what areas of my life are real? Is my relationship with you actually real? And where is it kind of just, I make it look like it's real to other people on the outside? Because that doesn't help us if we live in a fake world or live in a real world acting fake and trying to be real with God when he already knows we're being phony. And on the flip side, has God shown you how your relationship has been a real example of what a real relationship looks like to others in the world, the people that you encounter? And has he shown you, has he revealed some of those areas where you're real with me and I share you with others so that you can share me with them and they see what a real relationship looks like? It's one of the biggest ways we have impacts on people, isn't it? Just being real. You know, it's okay to be real and be broken. It's okay to be real and struggle. It's okay to be real and be powerful in Christ. And we go through all those, don't we? We all have those. Nobody's always powerful in Christ, walking on the mountaintop every single day. We want to be there, don't we? But we don't go there every day. And we travel just up and down the mountains and valleys of life. But I think when people see the real life of what it looks like when you're going through the struggles and you're turning to God and asking him for help, and when you're on the mountaintop and you're turning to God and asking him for help, what that looks like, because sometimes we can forget him on the mountaintop, and we don't want to do that either. So how does God show you how your life is real in showing him with others? And as we go on today, Paul's transitioning from encouraging the brethren from looking at his life from the previous verses in carrying this idea, the life of the church, to the idea of using himself as an example. Verse 13, he points out that we're going to get to, that the Messiah, who's Jesus, who's God, who's going to be the one who taught him and gave him the power to be content in all things, or to be able to move in the life situations, it's going to be him. And he wants the focus, and always for Paul, the focus is always going to be, it's God who does this in me. Don't ever forget that. The example that you see, the real relationship that you see in me with God, it's him that's doing it. It's not me. That's always going to be what Paul's going to share with us. And if he boasts about anything else, it's going to be about his failures. because it amplifies who God is. My failures are about me, but what God does successfully, that's all Him. And the believers, they know this because they've experienced Him, they have seen Him, they've seen the real relationship. We get this through the words that He writes and He shares with the church to continue to encourage them. It says, we read in verse 10, "But I rejoiced greatly in the Lord greatly. Now that at last you have revived your concern for me, indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." You know, Paul's simply seeing that the church is saying, "How I care for you. I love you. I'm reaching out to you." And there was a period of time where they couldn't actually do that. But he knows they cared. But they lacked the opportunity to be able to do it. But now they have the opportunity and they're giving. They're not holding back. And it's so easy to say, well, especially let's look at our own church life. Well, we struggle financially. It's easy to say, well, I won't give. And then when we got a little bit to give, no, I can't give that. I got to save that for a rainy day. Got to hold on to that. Well, that's not apparently what the church here in the Philippi is doing. Is they're saying, well, hey, you know, we didn't have anything, so we had to hold on. We had to survive. Now we got a little bit to survive. We have enough to survive on. We have a little bit of extra. Let's give this to somebody we care about. Let's give this to Paul. Let's give this. Let him know that we care about him and love him. When somebody shows interest in somebody, it's very encouraging, isn't it? Have you been encouraged by somebody who shows interest in you that has reached out in your time of need or just simply called you up on the phone? You know, it's one of the beauties of the ladies is that they'll call each other up very, hey, I'm going to call my friend, I'm going to talk with him. Guys, we don't do that so much. But guys need that encouragement, don't we? We need to know somebody just cares. Hey, how you doing? A text. Hey, just thinking about you, praying for you. I love you. I want to spend some time with you. Guys need that too. Well, from Paul being a guy, the church reaching out to him saying, hey, I love you. I want to encourage you. So people want to be accepted. They want to be wanted. They want to be acknowledged, and they want to be cared for. I know I certainly do. We have all those first and foremost in Jesus Christ. And as you dig into your real relationship with him, you'll understand that more and more deeply and deeply. That's first and foremost. But it's very, very nice when the people of God or friends just reach out and say, hey, thinking about you. I love you. That was one of those great times with yesterday when we got together, making peanut clusters. Being together said, I like you. I want to be with you. I want to help the church. And for those who were able to make it and for those who weren't able to make it, you're probably going to partake in some of the peanut clusters and enjoy the labor because it was all out of love. And those taste better. So when you think about people around you and how they perceive your care for them, do you sense that people know that you actually care for others? Or care for those most important people in your life? We live in a busy culture, a busy society. It's extremely busy. It was hard for some people to find time off on Saturday to come and help because we are just in a busy culture. We have a lot of things that are going on. Sometimes that's our only day off of work, and we spend it with family. And you should. But how do people perceive how you care for them? And how does God use you to reach out to others to show your care for them? I appreciate how the church of Philippi reached out to Paul and he was encouraged. And he noticed it. How do people notice that in your life as you dig into others? You know, as Paul, as he reaches out, sometimes when I first read that passage, that scripture verse, when he reads in and says, I greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice that you've revived your concern for me. That at first glance you look at it and go, well, maybe, you know, he's kind of slamming the church. Well, you liked me one time and then you didn't care for me, and then, oh, you want to revive your concern for me again but he's not really saying that. He's saying, I understand. I absolutely understand. I don't expect anything from you, but when I receive it, I'm greatly rejoicing in it. It's a blessing. We live in a world that is absolutely selfish, isn't it? It's broken. Sin from the garden has permeated through society, through us. It's just It's selfish. But when somebody gives, we all notice it, don't we? And you don't have to be a believer to give. We know plenty of non-believers who give things, don't we? And we notice it because it's selfless. It's a part of God's character. Selflessness, humbleness, giving. It's a demonstration of who He is. Now, ultimately, at the core, a believer can give to God simply because, and give to others simply because they love God, period. And they want nothing absolutely in return. There's nothing for it. And it's a beautiful thing. And Paul understands this, and he understands that they love him, and the sacrifices from them, that they have the opportunity now. In verse 11, as we continue on, and now that I speak from want, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. Now he's clearing up any concerns that people might have that he's expecting those believers to provide for him. You know, that's, and it's very important that people, that the believers understand this, because if he expects, then there's going to be this connection of control. Well, I do this for you, so you should do this for me. I don't see that in God's character. I don't see that in Jesus at all. He died on the cross because he loves us, period. Period. He hopes that you respond to his love and love him back. When he gives, he doesn't expect in return. He hopes that it's received correctly. He hopes that it's received with love, the way he offers it. But Paul wants the people to understand, I don't expect you to give me anything. Don't when you see me think, oh no, I have got an extra couple coins. I should give this to you because you know what you might think I need to do that. Not at all. You know, it's kind of like yesterday. You know, not everybody was able to come. I hope you can, but I don't expect you to. Elisha and I were going to do all of them by ourselves if we had to. Maybe not all of them. But we knew some people would come, and that was good. But we don't expect. It's if you can, partake and enjoy. It's the same idea that Paul is sharing out. I don't expect, but if you give, I'll be excited. But even beyond that is that God is my provider. And this is what Paul's going to live on. He's either going to have something to eat, or he might not have something to eat if the church gives or he doesn't. Because God's call on his life is to go share the gospel, period. He didn't say, go share the gospel, and I'm going to give you this. I'm going to have a house over here that you can come back to. You're going to have a house at the beach on the Mediterranean when you need to go and just get some time off, okay? You'll have that over there for you. You know, Paul knows I'm going to share the gospel, and I don't know what God has in store, but I'm going to go where he wants me to go, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do, and that's, I'm content and I'm happy with that alone, because he's my daddy, and he's going to provide for me. Well, in this case, he starts to provide through the believers in Philippi, and he's excited about that, but he wants them to know, I don't expect anything, and God is my provider. He's not only the provider of the material, but he's also going to be the provider of the spiritual aspects as well. In 2 Timothy 2:13, if you have the notes, they're in the back, and you might have there's a notebook back there if you want to take some as well. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is, his character of faithfulness is always going to be there. He's always going to provide what you need. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be there, being there for his kids. That's what a daddy does, a good daddy. And he's also developing the character in the believers. In John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, God himself, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he'll bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. He's going to teach you the character, his character qualities. He's going to live within us, teach us, guide us, direct us. So God is Paul's provider in absolutely everything, in his finances, also in his spiritual aspects, where he's going to find everything he absolutely needs, and God's going to teach him and direct him. And this Holy Spirit's going to walk with us stride and stride every single step of the way. In verse 12, and you know how to get along. I know how to get along in humble means. There's also how to live in prosperity, even in every circumstance of stance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both in abundance and in suffering and need. In the Greek, this comes out a little bit clearer than it does in the English. All these verbs are in the perfect tense, which simply means this happened in the past, but it has present day consequences. I'm because of what happened in the past, I feel it right now. In the English, you're going to see that it's I know, but in the Greek, it would be more translated like I have known, so I know now. Something that happened in the past occurred, and because of that, now I can, in this case, the verb know, I know about life in this sense. So having come from, because I have known, and so I know now, having come from a humble circumstance. Well, because I've dealt with that in the past, I know what humble circumstances are like and how to actually deal with them now. Better than I did the first time I went through it. Who's ever experienced something for the first time and was successful with it? Okay, oftentimes you go through experience and you stumble through it and you realize, oh, you know what, I've done that differently next time. Because it happened in the past, but it's affecting you today. Well, I won't do that same thing again. I'll do it differently. Renovated my upstairs a couple years ago. Well, there's some certain things I'd say, you know what, it's easier if I did this way differently next time. I'd save a little bit more time. I use too many nails that way, but I could use some screws and get it done even easier this way. So you learn from your past experiences in what has taken place. So a question for us, do you learn from your past experiences, from your failures and your successes? Do you personally learn from them? You know, it sounds a little bit silly, but what if I make the mistake and I have the experience again, I make the same mistake, have the experience again, I make the same mistake. I didn't take what I learned in the past and applied it to my life to help me out, did I? Well, we call that insanity. Insanity. Think about yourself and the things that you do over and over and over again that God is saying, come on, son, come on, daughter, please don't do that. Get rid of that in your life. Follow me here. Is there anything in your life that you've seen that you do over and over and over again? Yeah. Those things that God is bringing to your mind, if you haven't come to the point where that you've been freed from it, he wants you to be freed from that. He wants you to be delivered from that so that one day a couple different things can take place. One, you're freed from it. It's not kept you in bondage where the enemy can come and kind of continue pushing you down with it and keeping you in control. But also that you can help other people. Say, well, this is what I did in my life over and over and over again, and this is how God delivered me by his Holy Spirit. This is what God does in the life of a person. I'll continue doing the same cycle over and over again. For me, one of my cycles in high school was, Lord, I want to live for you passionately. Good thing, right? Live for you passionately. And I would live for him, and I'm like, making all those right choices. God, this pride's in my life, God. All this, I'm like, I feel like I'm doing, everybody should do it like me because I'm doing so well, and God, you're saying you're so prideful right now, and you just slam me down to the ground. And I'd go back down. Okay, God, I'm going to do it right this time, and I'd make all these right choices. Yes, I'm doing these right things. God, I'm serving you. So pride in my life, pride in my heart is so prideful. Oh, he slammed me back down. No, you're prideful, son. That's not me. That is not me. You're doing this on your own. Yes, you're making good, right choices. They're very nice, good choices that are holy choices, but you're doing them on your own strength, and guess what? Yes, you're getting to the point, and yes, you're struggling with them because they're always piling and piling and piling. You don't have it's gripping on you, and you're trying to break free from it, but you can't because you keep doing it on your own. So after going through that cycle, and that cycle, and that cycle, and that cycle, I said, God, what am I doing wrong? Because I feel like I'm powerful when I'm at the bottom, when I know I can't do it, and I'm asking for your help. He said, yeah. That's exactly where you need to be. Right there. Don't get up. Let my Spirit lift you up now. Let my Spirit be the one who helps you do the next step. Don't you do it on your own. Don't think, hey, Daddy, look what I'm doing for you. Look what I'm doing for you. No. Daddy, it should be, I need your help. Help me to do that for you. Daddy, I need your help. Help me to do that for you. Daddy, I need your help. The sins that you struggle with that are tied and gripped on you, you might be doing it on your own. Do you realize that? That's what he showed me and realized. That when I struggle and I can't break free from it, I'm doing it on my own strength. So, Jesus breaks us free from those things. If you don't, if I continue to live in that, or if I choose to go back to it, I'm insane, I'm crazy. Literally, because it's not very smart. So Paul has learned also that that choices that he makes sometimes can put you in a bad situation, or sometimes life itself can be strenuous. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, they are servants of Christ. I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beatings, times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent at the deep of the sea. It's pretty intense, isn't it? I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers from wilderness, dangerous on the sea, dangers among the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, and I hunger and thirst, and often without food, in the cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me to concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led to sin without my intense concern? For if I boast, I will boast about what pertains to my weakness. All of those situations that Paul just expresses out are situations that had occurred because he's hearing the gospel, and other people are hurting him in these cases. But he willingly continues to do this. Why? Why? It seems insane for us, doesn't it? You get beat one time, you go out, well, just keep your mouth shut. But he does it again and again and again and again. To us it seems insane, but to him it's a glorious relationship with God. Because he can't do that on his own. And he even tells us, if I boast, I will boast it pertains to my weaknesses in the last verse. I can't do this, but God can do every single one of those things through me. He can help me persevere through the beatings. He can help me persevere through those hungry nights. He can help me persevere when I am thirsty beyond thirst and I'm desperate. You think about the things in your life that you feel desperate about. Is there something in your life that you're desperate about? It brings you angst. It brings you you cringe, you tense up when you think about something like this. It can be a physical issue. It can be an emotional. It can be loss of family. It can be whatever it is for you. Is there something that brings you angst in the midst of it? Well, Jesus doesn't expect you to be the best Christian, the strongest Christian. Jesus expects you just to take it simply to him like Paul did. I'm weak and I need you because I can't get through that struggle in my life without you. Not to glorify you, not to exalt your name. I need you and I need your help. And there's also a letting go in that. Paul's learned to be content with any of those circumstances that he's going through, whatever comes his way, because he's living not for himself anymore. He's living for Jesus. If he's beaten to the point where his body doesn't look the same anymore, which I would venture to say, with all the rods, with all the stones, with the shipwreck, with the exposure, with not eating, he looked differently than the day he started to walk with Jesus on the Damascus Road. He looked differently now when he wrote this. Physically, he was not the same man. He gave up his life for his Lord. And he was okay with that. He was content with that. And I know the Lord has brought many of you to that point. And he's continuing to want to drive that in our lives. Because Paul, he didn't stop with Paul with the beatings of rods. He said, I've got something else because I'm using you, Paul. What circumstance in your life are you going through today that God is saying, I'm using you? Another thing has happened. It's a struggle. Now we're okay. Now another struggle. Now we're okay. Now another struggle. Now we're okay. What's the next? And we're like, God, why are all these struggles? Why? Just give me a break. When you live for Jesus, is there a break? Only when God says the break is there. And the servant says, I'm content with whatever you bring me. I know it's hard. I know it's painful. This is hard. But God, you will get me through because I'm weak. And I need you to lift me up. I need your Spirit to guide me. Second Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is at work in you to both will and to work for his good pleasure. As God is working in the midst of us with his Spirit, he's changing our character. He's helping us become even stronger, but the strength doesn't come because we become stronger. It's because Jesus becomes stronger in us. I become more submitted to him and allow his strength to fill me, to give me the new hope, to give me the new, I can do this with Jesus. In verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This verse really is the verse that holds this passage together for us today. The word all things is the direct object that we see in English, but it's placed before the verb. And that's important because it's emphasizing that there's not one thing that cannot be done with the Messiah who strengthens him. Not one thing. Paul simply says, hey guys, it's all things. All things. The word I can do is in the present tense, and it lets us know, and it's in an indicative form. And I share this so that if you like those things, you can look back and see where I get this understanding, is because Paul shares this. This is what you learn in the Greek. Indicative, present, and active. It's something that's currently happening right now, and it's factual. So Paul is saying, absolutely everything, I can do them right now. I can do them right now. And that word I can do, you can also translate it, I am strong. In all things, I am strong. And I kind of like this one better. I am strong through Christ who strengthens me. I like that because it kind of takes off the idea of I can do, but I am strong. And that verb, the word to strengthen or empowers, is it a participle that that's showing that that Christ is doing this continually. He's continually strengthening us. That's why presently I can be strong in all things, because he's presently doing this. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He is not a distant God. When he says, I give you my Spirit, he says, I've given you my Spirit now for eternity. Tap into him. Let him be your power. Let him be your strength in all situations, all the time, every single moment. We talked about just a couple weeks ago that it's the peace of God that guards our minds and our hearts. This is a part of it. I need the Spirit to be my strength, who is going to give me my peace, because it's God Himself who's going to guard my mind and guard my heart. I won't struggle with the same things I did before because my mind won't wander off into the angst of those things. And I can focus on what God has in store. And it's a very important right here, and I love this part, that Paul is letting us understand that it's we are working together with God. It's very important for that, for us to understand it. I'm working together with God. God just doesn't, hey God, I want you to do this, and just poof, it happens. No, I'm calling out to God, I need your help. And He says, of course, I'm right there to help. Thank you for working with me to wanting the help. I will give you the help with my Spirit, who's going to help you, teach you, show you, guide you, give you the power to overcome what you're struggling with. And you find that if you struggle with something over and over and over and over again, you realize, in the spirit world, I'm doing it in my own strength. If you have an addiction of some sort and you struggle with it over and over again, I'm doing it in my own strength. I need God to help me. I need His deliverance. I need His help. I need His power. And He promises this. This is a promise that He gives to us, that I will do this, and He does this for us continually. I'm going to continue on with this last section before we close. Jesus helps Paul with the ability to cope with life situations. We talked about all the struggles that Paul went through. He helps him cope with every single one of them and be successful in them as he surrenders to Jesus. He has that same for each one of us as well. We can be victorious in Christ, victorious as we stand with Him, victorious as we trust Him and let Him show us and give us the strength. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God and for those who are called according to His purpose." We can't explain all the bad things that take place in life. Paul was called to go share the gospel. People chose to beat him. God allowed it. Paul was called to go and share the gospel, and he had no food for a while, and God allowed it. Paul was shipwrecked. Probably felt all alone, right? Where are you, God? I'm here to share the gospel because you called me to do that. And now you've shipwrecked me somewhere. You've abandoned me, right? We might think something like that. But God allowed it. Was God there with him every single moment? Absolutely, because His promise is, my Spirit will be with you to guide you, direct you, teach you, and give you power to be successful in all of these circumstances, because I'm developing your character to show you who I am and for you to die to yourself and to live for me. Sometimes the struggle that we go through shows us where our heart is really connected to. Is the struggle that I'm going through, am I really connected to me? Am I connected to other people? Am I connected to the situation that gives me comfort? Am I connected to food, to beverages? Am I connected to, what am I connected to? The struggle shows us who I go to, doesn't it? Who do I believe really has the answers to life situations? So our struggles, like physical loss or pain, loss of abilities, loss of loved ones or friends, loss of a job, loneliness, mental struggles, life's continual pressures and strains, where do I go in the midst of all of those? That's what struggles show me. How much do I really trust God? Is He worth being trusted? Those are big questions, aren't they, in life? Those are questions that everybody has. And as your life shows the real relationship of God, how you struggle with those questions at different times. And how, when you relax and trust God in those times, how it encourages other people and how they see Him. And we can look at each other in the room and we can say, I remember when you trusted God here, you gave me encouragement. You knew your circumstances and they were hard, but you never turned your back on God because you trusted Him to get you through. We can look at each other here and be encouraged with that, because I'm often encouraged by your lives and how you pursue God. And it's a beautiful thing. But our struggles show us, where do we turn and who do you turn to first? And as we close today, in verse 14, notwithstanding, nevertheless, you do well to share with me in my affliction. Paul just simply turns back to the believers and says, thank you for joining me. Thank you for being with me. God is my provider. God is my sustainer. But I see God working in your life because you're giving and you're serving. And he's excited about it. He sees a real example of life, of relationship with God. So as you go this week, maybe you can apply this to your life by picking one of the struggles that you deal with and take it to God. Take it to Him first and let Him see what He'll do for you in the midst of that situation. I know for sure that if you do that, your relationship with God will grow deeper, because He will show you how He is going to give you the power and the strength that you can do all things through Him. And that will give us confidence. And then we'll have more strength, more power in Him, more desire to turn to Him. It just trickles and it affects. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your love and for your grace that you have poured upon our lives. Lord, I thank you that you don't expect us to be perfect. You never have and you never will, because you're the perfect one. You've already taken care of all of that for us. But you call us into a deep relationship that you desire to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. God, you are so vast and so amazing that we can never fully ever comprehend you for eternity. That is awesome. Lord, I'm thankful that I'll never be able to understand you completely because you're so vast. It gives me eternity to continue to know you and to deepen with you. Lord, I pray for the body of believers here today that we choose to spend time with you this week. We choose to give you that which we struggle with, to let you show us what freedom looks like when we surrender it to you and let your power give us the strength to do all things. And we walk hand in hand with you in that process. Lord, I thank you that you call us into that together. We love you. And all God's children said, amen, amen.